I would like to speak to you for a few minutes on Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. I find this a remarkable passage, a most interesting passage. And speaking for myself, I find it a most challenging passage. Let me put it to you. Believer, it may challenge you. I find it an encouraging passage too, and a most instructive passage. Believer, I hope what I say will encourage you, rebuke you, and challenge you, and stir you, and instruct you too. It's most instructive, this passage. Paul is in prison. And in prison, he is confined, of course, and cannot travel. So his preaching opportunity is severely limited. As he says in verse 13, I am in chains. He can still speak, I suppose, to his jailers. And he can still speak to fellow prisoners if he gets an opportunity. And he can still write, maybe by dictation, as he is writing here to the Philippians. But as for travelling and standing to address a crowd, a public congregation, he is silent. He is dumb. His opportunity has been taken away. I am in chains, he said, for Christ. But he has a remarkable attitude, reaction to this calamity. He actually says in verse 18, I rejoice. Yes, he says, and I will continue to rejoice. Nothing is going to stop me rejoicing. I am going to rejoice, and I do rejoice. And I find that a challenge. To think, although he is not allowed to preach, he's cut off from his preaching opportunity. And his desire is to preach, we know that. He loved to preach. He knew it was by the preaching of the gospel that sinners are saved, for a start. And to be denied this opportunity, and yet still rejoice, I find a tremendous rebuke to me and a challenge to me. Martin Lloyd-Jones, once asked preachers, what would it be like when you can no longer preach? Old age might come on. Or, as has happened to me in many cases, several cases, opportunity is taken away because people don't want to hear the way I preach and what I preach. And so opportunity is taken away from a man. What will become of you, says Lloyd-Jones? What will you be like? What will you feel like? How frustrating will it be to you? Is Paul frustrated? Well, it doesn't show, and in fact he tells us, as I say, that I rejoice, he says, and I will rejoice, I will go on rejoicing, and nobody's going to stop me this rejoicing. I rejoice. Why do you rejoice, Paul? Well, for several reasons. One is, he said, everybody is talking about it, that I'm in prison, throughout the whole palace, verse 13, the whole palace guard. The whole palace, or the and the soldiers and the prison warders and so on, right out through the palace, the whole palace and prison and society here are talking. Have you heard about that man? That man there. He was a Jew, you know, and he's been, what he said, converted, and he's preaching this Jesus and this gospel, and he's in prison for it, and so on and so on. And they talked about it, and Paul was delighted. He said that they were talking about the gospel and about Christ. Verse 13, as a result, it's become clear that throughout the whole palace guard, or the whole palace, and to everyone else, that I am in chains for Christ, and I rejoice about that. As he says in verse 12, what's really happened to me underneath, although my opportunity has been taken away, now here's a remarkable statement, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Cool, that sets you back on your heels, doesn't it? A preacher of Paul's caliber can't preach, and yet this really serves to advance the gospel. This really makes the gospel go forward. What an attitude this man has got. Now, how is that possible? Well, he says to me, if he was alive, he'd say, David, he'd say, look, I really do believe in the sovereignty of God, don't you? You've preached like I have, probably he might have done, I don't know, you knew the text, I'm sure, in Psalm 31, my times are in thy hand, my times are in your hand, O God. You're sovereign. All things are working together for good to them that love God, as he writes to the Romans. Don't you believe that? He would say to me, I do. You see, God moves in a mysterious way, said William Cowper. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. The devil may attack, the world may attack, the powers and the political authorities might attack, and so on and so on and so on. Yes, let them attack. They may take away my opportunity, but God will see to it that this really advances the gospel. This is a challenge to me. It's an encouragement to me. I read this passage this morning, and then just after that, I found some news that could seriously curtail my opportunity to distribute my books. I won't go into details, but if this proposal is carried through, I'm in the hands of others here, if this proposal is carried through, it could seriously curtail the distribution, the free distribution of my books. And this can get me down and cast me down and get me frustrated. And then I remember this text, I just read it. I want to learn to rejoice, because I know the devil will try and do this, and the devil will try and do that. God will so turn it and use it that it will really serve to advance the gospel. Paul goes on to explain. Because of my chains, he says, verse 14, most of the brothers in the Lord, most believers, have been encouraged. They've learned from me to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. They've been given courage by my testimony and by my example. They've been made less fearful by my testimony and by my example. And we need courageous preachers. We need fearless preachers. Listen to what Paul says to the Ephesians, the previous letter, chapter 6, verse 19. He asked the Ephesians to pray for him. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Fearless, courageous preachers. I'll tell you this, my friend, I've heard preachers, especially when I was a young man. Yes, when I was a young man. And I've heard preachers addressing congregations and preaching and doing their work, and I've been encouraged, I've been instructed, I've seen how they did it, their courage, their freedom, their fearlessness, and it's encouraged me to go on and serve Christ and preach in my own terms, in my own time, in that way. One of the things I admire about Martin Luther, although he made many mistakes, one of the things I admire about him was he was a pioneer. And it's so easy for me to follow men like Luther. I'm a number two, 302, 3002, whatever it might be. I'm miles behind. But at least I can learn from their example. And it stirs me to courage. It stirs me to fearlessness. And Paul says, I rejoice because the brothers are preaching Christ more fearlessly, more courageously. They're opening their mouths wider. They're speaking more boldly for Christ. I'm delighted in it. Ah, Paul, but there's others out there, and what they're doing is taking the mickey out of you. You understand that idiom? They're laughing at you. They're mocking you. They aren't learning from you. They're listening to you, and they're going around aping you in the wrong sense. And they're stirring up trouble for you. Paul says it's true. Verse 15. That some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill, the latter do so in love, knowing that I'm here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. Yes. But what does it matter? Verse 18. What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And God will bring good out of it. Although they're trying to rub salt in my wounds by preaching Christ, some of these people, although they're laughing at me, God will turn the tables on them, and the gospel will be advanced. Let me tell you a story. I believe it to be true. I've read it. I've got no reason for doubting it. I believe it was two men who went to hear George Whitefield, the great English preacher, the 18th century preacher. And they went to hear him because George Whitefield, like every other preacher, like me, we have our idiosyncrasies. We have our little things that we do with our hands and the way we just use our words or the way we stand. Little things that they can copy and mimic. And these men went and they lashed onto Whitefield and they listened to him. And then they went away to a tavern, I believe it was. And they, I suppose they gathered a little crowd around them, I don't know. And one of them stood upon a stool or a bench or a table and he pretended to be Whitefield. And he gave out his text. Now, I don't know what his text was. The one that comes to mind is one that was very commonly used by Whitefield, and it may well have been the text. "You must be born again." Gee, maybe that was the text, anyway. And do you know what happened? Somebody was born again. See, the devil overdid himself. This man was copying, mimicking, laughing at Whitefield, but the very text he used was used by God to convince and convict and convert a sinner. Wonderful, isn't it? "He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." This is Paul's attitude. "I rejoice," he said. "I rejoice." I find that most challenging. Believing friend, do you find it a challenge? Do you find things frustrate you and put you off serving Christ? Some disappointment? Let us learn from the apostle. God works all things together for good to them that love him, and he will have his gospel preached. Whether the motives are right or wrong, Paul said, I don't worry about that. Christ is preached. Will you go on, brother? Will you go on, sister, serving Christ? And you're a preacher, you know. I can't develop it now, but in my book, The Priesthood of All Believers, I have developed this. Every man, every woman, every believer, every believing man, every believing woman is a preacher. Maybe not in a pulpit. No, I'm talking about that. But there's preaching in a conversation. I'm not in a pulpit now, literally speaking. But I'm preaching. You can preach to your children, not in the wrong sense, but in the right sense. You preach to your husband, your wife. You preach to your father and mother, your neighbors, your friends, your fellow students. Conversation. Writing a letter. Writing a book. Witnessing by life. Preaching Christ. We're all preachers, brothers and sisters. In Christ, we're all preachers. Let's preach fearlessly, courageously, boldly. We need free preachers. We have too many lecturers, boring lecturers. We want preachers of Christ. And that leads me to a very important point here. Do you notice what he says here? What he talks about preaching. He talks about, verse 12, the gospel. He talks in verse 14 about the word of God. The gospel. The word of God. But look at it in the round here. The whole context here. Look at what he says. And notice this. It's for Christ. Verse 13. Verse 15. Preach Christ. Verse 15 that is. Verse 17. Preach Christ. That's 17. Verse 18. Christ is preached. What is the point I'm making here? We preach the word of God, don't we? Do we? Some preach the creeds, the Westminster Confession. Away with it. Preach the word of God, not the word of men. Some preach catechisms. Away with it. Preach Christ. Preach the gospel. Preach the word of God. We preach the scriptures. But what do we preach in the scriptures and out of the scriptures and from the scriptures? What do we preach the scriptures for? The gospel. The gospel. And supremely, what is the gospel? It comes out so plainly in this passage. It is Christ. That's why I've called this little talk, Christ is preached. It's verse 18. That's why Paul rejoices, because Christ is preached. Oh, my friend, this is so important today. Some are preaching law. Preach Christ if you're a preacher in a pulpit. Preach Christ if you're a preacher outside the pulpit. Preach Christ, not the law. They preach the law to sinners. Oh, that prepares them for Christ. It does no such thing. Preach Christ to sinners. the priest of law to saints. Oh, that sanctifies them. It does no such thing. Christ sanctifies them. Preach Christ. This is what Paul does. He didn't say, I preach Christ to this person or preach Christ. I preach Christ. I rejoice that Christ is preached. Oh, believer, I have no idea what your present situation is, what your present circumstances are. You might be rejoicing greatly. You might be depressed. You might be assured. You might be lacking assurance. You might need instruction in holiness and rebuking for some sin. You might need this or that. I don't know. But I know what I've got to preach to you. Christ. Christ is in all the scriptures, my friend. Luke 24. Christ is in all the scriptures. Beginning with Moses and the prophets. The law, the Psalms, anywhere and everywhere. Christ is in all the scriptures. I think a man asked Spurgeon once, what he should preach about, how long he should preach. Should he preach about 40 minutes or whatever, something like that. My friend, I don't care whether you preach 40 minutes or 40 days, I was going to say, but whatever you preach, preach Christ. But Christ was not in my text. He is in your text, because he's in all the scriptures. Preach Christ. As I say, some preach creeds. Can you believe it? Some preach doctrine. Can you believe it? Some preach social relationships, church relationships. I know of a man who preached 6 sermons on eldership. I don't know how many angels rejoiced in heaven over that. But you may say to me, well, elders are in the Bible and the church ordinances are in the Bible. Shouldn't we preach that? Yes, but whatever you do, preach Christ. Look at anywhere in the New Testament, you will see this man, Paul, Peter and John, all of them, whenever they're preaching precepts, commands, ordinances, whatever they're doing, they're always leading men to Christ. Preach Christ in all the scriptures. And Paul rejoices that Christ is preached. Christ is preached. Unbeliever, you don't need to assent to a list of doctrines. That's not going to save you. You have to believe certain things. I'm not saying that. But assenting to doctrines will not save you. You need Christ. You need Christ, my friend. Going to church, going to chapel, reading a Bible, saying your prayers. I'm not saying a word against it, but it won't save you. Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Seek the Lord. I don't mean next week. I don't mean in 10 years' time. I don't mean for 10 years. I mean come to Christ now. That's what Isaiah means. Come to Christ now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What must I do to be saved? Said the jailer. What did Paul say? Well, I think you better come to some of my classes. You better learn the confession. You better learn the creed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. He believed and was full of joy. If you won't believe, my friend, if you refuse him who speaks, you will perish. There is no need for it. Christ stands ready, willing and able to save you. Paul rejoiced that Christ is preached. And I'm rejoiced if you're any unbelievers listening to me now. You're, at least I'm trying to preach Christ to you, my friend. Christ will save you. Christ can save you. None but Christ can satisfy. Seek Christ now. And that's what I mean by seek now. Call upon the name of the Lord. Ask him to save you and he will save you. Believer, if you want assurance, look to Christ. If you want to be sanctified, look to Christ. If you want hope, encouragement, if you want boldness, to be less fearful, less doubting. Whatever it is, my friend, Christ is all and in all, said the apostle. And that's why he rejoiced. Christ is preached. Make sure that Christ is preached. I fear that he is not preached enough. He's lectured about, he's talked about. We don't want sermons about Christ, we want Christ preached to us. I leave it there, my friend. It's been an encouragement to me to have this passage before me. It's been a rebuke to me, a challenge to me, an instruction to me. I hope it's been something like that for you. Unbeliever, I do hope that it might even be saving for you. For if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Don't refuse him. That is the way to perish. I rejoice, said Paul. And I will continue to rejoice. Nothing will stop me in rejoicing. It doesn't matter what happens to me, as long as Christ is preached.